that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, White Sox fans, Brett Ballantini here. It's podcast number 120. I think it is. At some point, I'm going to stop naming them, and I'm going to just come up with a different number each time. This is welcome to podcast number 65. I'm Brett Ballantini. I am here. We are at the tail end. We are at the hind end of the Cleveland series, which was pitched in a podcast as recently as the rumored 119 as the White Sox opening of the playoffs, their series of the season, time to turn things around. I do not want to cluck and proclaim myself the expert, but as of last podcast, I was the only one on the panel who said the White Sox would not win this Cleveland series. Of course, I said they'd win one game of the Cleveland series. And as we're recording, who's to say if even optimistic Sonny Brett Ballantini will be correct on that one? Okay, well, whatever funeral dirge is playing in the background that I've decided to lay in here, I'll fade that down and let's talk about the Chicago White Sox. Oh my goodness, you want to talk about some combat duty. Allie Wessel, Joe Reesus, Melissa Sage Bullenbach, and Dante Jones, showing off the new haircut, is with us to talk about the White Sox. I don't even know what to say. So, hey, let's talk about the White Sox. Let's start with the Cleveland series. Of course, series of the season. White Sox showed up sort of for game one. Extra innings, that's a show up. All right, I'll give them credit for that. Didn't work out. Game two, did not show up. Game three, .. Before we get to a broader look at the season itself or whatever other things we want to do and however many expletives are going to be shouted, let's just focus on this Cleveland series and whether or not this team still managed to surprise you, no matter how modest your expectations were going in. I'm going to take in an order on my screen. So guess what? That means Allie Wessel, hopefully dry. Hopefully the ceiling is all dry. You are going to let me know first. Did the White Sox disappoint you, or how much did the White Sox disappoint you this week?
Yeah. They took all of the wind from my sails this week. I have no words. Actually, I have a lot of words. But yesterday, after the extra innings loss, I was like, okay, maybe we could salvage two of three. And so I turned to the game on yesterday, and Yoan Moncada ran up to a ball really lazily in the first inning and didn't get a runner out at first, and then failed to make a double play. And then I turned the game off because just, I don't know if game one knocked everything out of them and they were just, if we're not going to win that game, we're just not going to do it. I have no idea, but I was just embarrassed to be watching them. And so I have not watched a second of Sox baseball because I needed a break. And it looks like they decided to shit the bed along with the rest of the fandom. So
yeah, this is very true. Joe Reesus had said long ago that he would not give up until the White Sox were eight games out. He has pointed out to me, yeah, there are hardly eight games left in the season, dummy. So, yeah, okay, I can give up earlier than eight games out. So, cool, and thanks for not actually calling me a dummy. You can think it. It's all right, Joe. But, yeah, Joe, Talk to me. I believe you proclaimed this would be a 2-win series. And right now, as we're recording, it appears that it's getting really close to a 0-win series. So did they manage to even somehow sneak under your lowered expectations for them this week?
Yeah, they absolutely disappointed me. I thought in true 2022 White Sox fashion, they'd just keep a little bit of hope alive, even if it had won 2 out of 3 in this series, it would have been, I guess a little bit of a moral victory compared to whatever has gone on in this series. And while they would still have a tiny chance of making the playoffs with 2 out of 3 wins, they really, really did come into this series needing a sweep to really have a serious chance of winning the division. When you're in the middle of your window, you just cannot have performances like this down the stretch. And ideally, you shouldn't even be in a position where, a series this late in the season would matter to this extent, where you would find yourself in a position where you would need a sweep of a division rival. But that is the position that they were in, and they were very clearly not up to the task. And yeah, it was absolutely a very disappointing series. And now, dare I say, for a completely different set of reasoning, but I think this rivals like the 2016 series in Kansas City in terms of like just how embarrassing it was and how memorable I think it's going to be for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe, talking about a sweep. Joe, I got to tell you, I got to break the news to you. The White Sox got their sweep. He just didn't do it right. Okay, Melissa, moving on to you. I just laid on me. Did they manage to somehow evade expectations even for you this week?
I had them. Going against my whole glass half empty thing, I had them winning at least 2. I thought they would come out guns a blazing in that first game, which to some degree they did. Mm-hmm. And I really felt they were going to take that first game and then keep on giving us a little bit glimmer hope, win in the second game with the mojo from the first game and then blow the last game is kind of how I thought it was going to go. So they did disappoint me because every time you think you have them figured out one way or the other, like they just do something completely unexpected. They showed up to be who we did think they were going to be. The last 10 days or 2 weeks under different leadership, I think we saw a little bit of something different that we were kind of all clinging on to, like maybe they can be what we know they can be, and we're holding on to that and had a little bit of that optimism going into the series. But then at the end of the day, they showed us who they've been, so it shouldn't really be a surprise because it was not good bullpen. It was not good defense. It is what it is.
Yeah. Dante, going back to even spring training, it seemed like, not that far back because we all had open spring training and they were still supposed to be a 95 win team back in spring training, but pretty early on this season, your attitude was like, yeah, even to make it to the playoffs, they're just going to get embarrassed. So, whatever. So I imagine that lowers the expectations to a degree. I know this is like a total sucker question because, of course, they evaded our expectations. They're about to get swept in this series of the season. But did they roll over in a way that even surprised you?
After the fight they showed in game 1, I was actually a little shocked with game 2 being so dreadful.
Yeah,
I was just watching it, like checking the scores while I'm doing things at work. And I'm like, all right, it was 4-12. I'm just like, yeah, I'm done with this. I can stop. Like I tweeted on, I want to say either Tuesday night or yesterday night, that I can stop caring about the White Sox for the rest of the season. And as my Twitter profile now says, can be a temporary Mets fan. So that's nice.
Yeah, you gotta listen. We're fighting for oxygen.
Exactly. I'm wearing black right now because we are currently at the White Sox funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take too many of the food, too much of the food afterwards. all that good stuff. But
don't worry, Espedation didn't provide that much. But yeah, okay. Yeah,
we are it's done. And I, long time ago, learned. Sometimes you hate being right, and I hate being right about the fact that they were done. in June. Like my first podcast on here, I was just like, I don't know how much I trust them to do anything. And they definitely showed me they can't do anything.
On that point, Dante, a year ago, we were excitedly talking up the fact that the White Sox were on their way to the playoffs and that I don't think they had declared it quite yet, maybe this time last year, but it was soon to be declared. Blackout game. They're going to black out for the playoffs. A thrill for folks who in 2008 maybe didn't get to experience it or only heard the legends or whatever, like by old idiots like me. But speaking to your fashion choice, I have found that the blackout towel, yes, a 2008 blackout towel still used in the Ballantini household kitchen, can actually be fashioned nicely as you know, as armband. So I'm not wearing it now. That's laying it on a little too thick, but it is armband ready for morning. Joe, I see that you are staying, you know, for those of you who don't watch the podcast, you're missing all of this great stuff. This is some juicy content. Joe, I see you are still keeping the faith. I have moved on slightly to black. I don't really care about the bull season either, but I got to wear something else. I cannot wear White Sox. So Joe, bless you for keeping the faith, even though you're angry and want to kick the White Sox right now. Let me go around. We can talk a little bit about the 2022 season and how it's disappointed, but I'm curious specifically if this season, the way it seems to be heading, let's say the White Sox finish a couple, three games better than 500, okay, which is a stretch. Right now we're fighting for 500 at this point. That's the new fight, not playoffs. Is this the worst case scenario for this season? That's the specific hook on this question. Dante, I'm going to go right back to you. What are you thinking? Going back honestly to what you thought, let's say spring training, is this really as bad as it could have gotten?
Yeah, this is about why, like you said, beginning of the season, we're thinking 93 to 95 wins, you know, first place, all that easy stuff, easiest division in baseball, all that good stuff. And I was like, my worst case scenario was better than this, honestly. I was like, at worst, 85 wins compared to a fun team, win a weak division, all good.
Yeah.
If they was to finish over 500, I would be disappointed in a different way of, I've been preaching it for like a month now. Get the draft pick, whatever it takes. Yeah. You screwed that up when you then offer, wasn't it, Rodon a qualifying last year. Just go ahead and tank for a better draft pick this year instead.
All right. Melissa. okay, we have one affirmative. Actually one negative. Worse than worst case scenario. There's actually a more bottom than we thought possible. How about for you?
I think this is bad because I have this gut feeling that we're going to roll the same team out next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to say, well, you know, with all the injuries and all the up and down, and we lose our manager and all this chaos that we've had all year, we still managed 500. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine if we're healthy out of the get-go and, you know, maybe one or two of our prospects are ready to go and come up and help this team that we were not bad enough to really shake things up. And so to me, this is the worst case scenario because I truly believe they're going to look at this team and think, well, you know, we're just decimated by injuries. And once we get everybody healthy, if we could do 500 with everything that we dealt with, we're really going to, you know, and so to me, that's kind of how I see it as a worst case scenario.
Oh yeah. So it actually, the worst case gets worse. Oh God, Melissa, that's absolutely going to happen. And we'll have all offseason to discuss that. And we'll see the car crash coming from months away. But yet we'll still have to somehow try to drive past or through it. Okay, Joe, worst case scenario, better than worst case scenario, worse than worst case scenario?
I think it was pretty close to what we could have reasonably foreseen as the worst case scenario. I think if we had a way of, you know, simulating the season a million times, I'm sure a few, you know, simulations, they'd end up with a worse record than what they're going to finish with this year. I mean, if you play it out enough times, you know, you're bound to get, you know, a few outliers where, you know, just literally everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And they didn't quite have it that bad. But yeah, I think as far as like, you know, it's reasonable to predict, you know, here's how it would look, you know, at a 10th percentile outcome, and here's how it would look at a 90th percentile outcome. I'm pretty sure this one would be worse than the 10th percentile outcome. Mm-hmm. Heading into the season, I had him pegged as a 91 win team, and that was pretty close to in line with where most of the national writers had predicted, and, you know, slightly lower than the majority of our staff. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like some outrageously high prediction. And yet it would have been even difficult for me to see this season playing out as poorly as it did.
I felt so bad last year, Joe, being the only one of 15 people predicting the White Sox to not make the playoffs. And yet still I didn't overcorrect, and I stuck with it. And I still was the low person in predicting wins. I'm not sure even if anyone tied me. And even then, I believe I said 90, Joe. Nobody predicted less than 90 wins. And at this point, 80 wins is not a guarantee for this team. All right, fairly safely in the bag, but reprehensible. Okay, Allie, you made your feelings clear. The mental break necessary that is still extending even to now, although, of course, you're now on a podcast with me and all of our lovely guests discussing the White Sox. It's different. Same old question. How close did this come to the worst case scenario for you?
Yeah, I mean, I said it yesterday morning, like I really bought into this season. I really bought into what I was being sold as, like, this is going to be a contending team. So for me personally, yeah, I think this is worse than the worst case scenario. Like, I think, you know, worst case scenario for me was returning to the ALDS and losing and bowing out round one again. I also think this is worst case scenario as well, just because looking forward, like, Kansas City isn't getting any worse. Cleveland's like the youngest team in baseball. They're only going to continue to get better. Like, this division isn't going to get any worse than it is now. It's only going to get better, and we are not equipped to continue to get better with it.
Mm-hmm. You are reading my mind, Allie, because that is something we are going to be discussing here in a second. But you know what? We're going to take a break first. And listen, if this hasn't run all the White Sox love out of you, this podcast, listen, we're all here with you. Everybody's disappointed. I know you listening are disappointed. So come on. It's like family. You know, come on back for, you know, 15, 20 more minutes. Second half of this podcast, we're just going to continue to commiserate. Sure, we'll share the food. Nobody's going to take a whole bunch of, you know, more than their share. Okay, it's cool. Thanks for being with us for first half. Stick with us for second half. It begins in a minute.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
White Sox fans, this, I promise you, is podcast number 120. I finally got it right. Not the strongest math guy, but I think I can title them correctly now. Just got on a bad streak. Sort of like the White Sox. So sue me. Come on. Listen, you're getting your subscriptions value. No complaints. All right. Listen, we've talked about the White Sox and how disappointing, variations on how disappointing they are. But let's jump into what Allie dared scratch the surface on. And that is... Of course, this year we were just supposed to walk in to the empty Fresh Prince room and just have the division handed to us. Didn't happen. There is a temptation to say that next year we just show up full health, because somehow now the training staff will change or the players will all get stronger and not be injury prone at all, and just sort of cakewalk, no matter what Cleveland did this year, no matter what they do in the playoffs, and cakewalk to a division. And let's forget just about Cleveland. We know Cleveland is a formidable opponent. We knew they were going to be in the mix no matter what. I think people were angling them towards maybe a 500 team, not what they are, but okay. Kansas City better. Plus, they already got our number. I think Allie already pointed that out. Detroit, can't be worse. Okay, maybe they're not exactly the threat we thought they would even be this year. Maybe next year they still aren't, but they're not going to be any easier. Minnesota, who knows what they're doing? Who cares? But, I mean, all right, they're going to just play spoiler if nothing else. The White Sox have no real room to get measurably better. It's not going to be in the budget. The budget's going to shrink. It's not going to increase. Trades? Well, they got to trade Andrew Vaughn. If there's an awesome trade for maybe a frontline starter or something, maybe you trade Andrew Vaughn. That still sort of hurts your team. You're dealing from your major league roster. Those trades can only be so much of a plus, not to compare AJ Pollock for Craig Kimbrel to that. But I mean, even if AJ Pollock was what we hoped AJ Pollock could be, well, you're still giving up some bullpen depth to get it. Going forward, this is not going to be easy. Allie, I guess you've given us some thoughts already, but I mean, you might want to further those thoughts on what you foresee the challenge being next year for the White Sox. Is by no means, I mean, the year for this to be handed to the White Sox was this year. Of course, it was never going to be handed. For it to be easy, that was this year. And we're falling very short of that. What do you envision next year? Because this is a dogfight. There is no guarantee the White Sox are even going to be in it as long as they were this year, next year.
Look at us all jumping in there.
Yeah, I said it so well.
Is it possible? I honestly think we're going to be worse next year. Who knows what's going on with our whole coaching situation? That's all up in the air. We still, with not going to spend any money to fill any significant holes, most likely, you know, getting some outfielders who actually can play the outfield. So we're basically, I feel like, going to roll out with the same cast of characters, and they don't have it. Whatever, however you define that, what it is that they seem to have in 2020 when they started kind of coming out, opening the window a little earlier than we all thought. And, and the team was fun and they had that it factor and they were exciting. And like, as a fan, you were pulling for them. This year, I feel like we were so frustrated that it was hard to pull for them. And if we roll out the same bit, cast of characters, we're still kind of angry and frustrated, and the players haven't, nothing with them has changed. So without significant change, I see us being worse.
Not to color anyone's answer to come, but let's just snapshot it to next year. Our two biggest surprises, our two definite positive WAR guys, are not going to be back with the team. Elvis Andrus is not going to be back with the team. Johnny Cueto is not going to be back with the team. It's not impossible. It's extremely unlikely. So you got Dylan Cease. The rotation is potentially the strong point of this team. Dylan Cease is back. Awesome. Then what else? Lance Lynn. Do you get Lance Lynn of August, or do you get Lance Lynn of I hurt my knee and I'm not pitching half the season? Michael Kopech made it to 120 plus innings and then no more. And now people are already saying, hey, maybe he's better as a bullpen arm. Lucas Giolito. Davis Martin's your fifth starter right now. By no means. I think you're exactly right, Melissa. This could be the beginning of the step back. The peak may have happened last year. Joe, Dante, or Allie, any other thoughts on this? Throw them at me. What do you see next year?
Yeah. I'm really sick and tired of saying that I want a second baseman. I want corner outfielders. And I want more depth in the bullpen. I feel like I've been repeating this for the last three off seasons, and I still feel like I'm not going to get delivered on it.
Nope.
I think there needs to be a decision made. You know, obviously Jose Abreu is entering free agency at the end of this season. So, the decision needs to be made. Are we committing to Andrew Vaughn at first base? Are we committing to Gavin Sheets at first base? And who are we willing to get rid of? I also think that, like you said, Elvis Andrus and Johnny Cueto, I think we captured a little bit of magic there. I don't think we're getting that back. Like, whether we sign them back or not, I don't think we're getting them back.
Okay.
And the last thing I will say is I have a sneaking suspicion Luis Robert is going to need wrist surgery in the off season because he's tried to push through this whatever thing. And I think that's also going to put a kink in the plan that's going to make the outfield that's already terrible even worse.
Chicago White Sox Baseball 2023, Kink in the Plan. There is your pocket schedule title. Nicely done, Allie. That's free, White Sox. You can have it. That's free. I got news for you. No second baseman next year. No corner outfielder next year. That ain't happening. Oscar Colas is your corner outfielder next year. Doesn't matter what it is in spring training. He's your corner outfielder. And hopefully that's going to be a good thing and stuff for us to be excited about and talk about in a podcast, say, 6 months from now. Joe, Dante, feelings as you peer toward 2023.
Oh man, this is not gonna be fun. So, considering how this just went gone, like my feelings are, we have to see if La Russa's back. We have to see if Hahn's back. We have to see if Kenny Williams' contract finally runs out and he does the retirement thing. You gotta see all that stuff, and also, like you said, Jose, who, like, every year quietly puts up a extremely, like, at worst, the best first baseman in the AL season, and that might not be coming back. He is the most consistent bat and has been for the last 8 years. Like, I've been of the opinion, like, it's time to get Vaughn into first base on a more permanent basis, but also, like, it's time to have Jose DH in that case, because we need that bat in the middle of the lineup. We need him here. And also, at the end of the day, Gavin Sheets is the most expendable one of the trio. Or we could actually put him in left and right field because he seems to play it better than Vaughn does. So, but just, like, Tim Anderson's injury history isn't great. Davis Morton deserves to stay up. But I don't know if he deserves to stay up as a White Sox or somewhere else. Because, oof.
You're really selling 2023 on me, Dante. I'm excited.
They already tried to sell me on 2023. They already tried to sell me on 2022 playoff tickets that don't exist because there is no playoffs. I looked at that and said, no. I'm thinking about trying to go to Milwaukee to watch a playoff game because it's not happening in Chicago. Probably not happening in Milwaukee either, but at least they have a shot.
They are not eliminated yet, Dante. I cannot believe you. Okay, Joe, thoughts. 2023. Mr. Optimism, we've just crushed your spirit this year, but watch, you see sunlight where maybe some of us don't?
I suppose if we get the version of Lucas Giolito that is closer to the one season later, this dude's an all-star version, as opposed to the 2018 worst pitcher in baseball version, that could help. I guess having a higher energy manager and high energy players who are talented, like Tim Anderson and Eloy Jimenez, not missing a ton of games. It's a very tall order, especially with Jimenez, to not have him missing time. But there's some potential there, I suppose. But I don't know. I think they'll be roughly 500 again next year. I mean, I think there's too much talent for them to completely just, you know, crap their pants and just have it be, you know, where a situation where they're tanking in September to, and then hoping for a really good, you know, college bat or something like that. So I don't think it's realistic for them to be in that situation, but it's hard to see them really making a big step forward though either. And, you know, the front office, like you said, they don't have any clear options with most likely a payroll that's going to be slashed, but I mean, they put themselves in this position and, you know, it's not looking too good right now.
Rebuild, 60 wins, 70 wins, 80 wins, 90 wins. You want to sort of be able to jump. If you're really doing it right and you're getting a little lucky, you're going to jump maybe close to that 10. And last year, the White Sox were actually a little ahead of pace. You would have been happy for them just to get in 90 wins, 93 wins. And for all season, they were pointed toward more than that. And to take the step back into now for even Joe to be saying, you know, I think he's a 500 team. Man, okay, spins right into a question we may sort of end on. I am going to cite as still the most disappointing. I did a feature on this a couple weeks ago. At a time when the White Sox are getting hot, it sort of seems silly I was doing it because it's like, is this White Sox team as disappointing as there's ever been? Let's look at it statistically. And they weren't. They were going to have to finish really terribly for them really to qualify over 120 years of White Sox baseball as one of the top 10 most disappointing teams. And one that ranked high that still is in my lifetime, and I would still say is beyond belief, is the 1984 White Sox, who dropped 25 wins, went from winning a division by 20 games to not even being close the next year. Absolute gutting season. Of course, before all but one of you were maybe even alive, but you know, it is possible to be even more gutted by a team. That said, I've spoken with many of you about this before. You start covering a team, you get close to the team, you end up having a different reaction response to the team. And I'm talking about me having been on the beat and all that stuff. And the lows aren't as low. You end up relating to the team differently as a fan. But that said, I have found myself personally, it's still sinking in that this is done. All season, I've been pretty cynical about the team, especially with the way they played. Easy to be cynical because it's like, they haven't shown us anything. So it's sort of easy to say, well, I don't really expect this is going to be a cakewalk to the division. But even that said, now for 5 months, sort of expecting this sort of weird kind of fight for 500 or fight to get to a division win, it's still sort of shocking to me that we really are talking about this team as failing. And I'm pretty calloused and cynical. So I'm curious to know how it's sinking in for all of you. Even, you know, Dante, I've been talking about this, you know, for a while, and let's go over the draft pick and stuff. It's still a little different when it like has really happened. So I'm curious to know from all of you, just sort of what the feeling is, if it's still a little numb. I know Allie's maybe a little pissed, but I just sort of where are you at in the stages of grief? Where are you at with this White Sox team?
Like we said earlier, it's still disappointing. Like, even though, like, it sinks in, and you know, as people that cover the team, we have a little bit more of an understanding, like a little bit more of that type of stuff. But like, taking off the writer cap and putting on the fan cap, did not expect any of this to go this, like I said, didn't expect it to go this badly. Like Melissa said, it could be worse. Like, it could be worse in 2023. And this, like we said, this is supposed to be the easy season. This is like the NBC sports graphic of, like you said, Land of the Wild Prince thing. Just, ooh, that looks bad now.
The curse, man, of NBC they sports. Just
underperformed everything, yeah, that everyone expected. Gio was my favorite picture coming in. I still love Gio. But I need to see a lot better from him next year for me to think of, like, to even think about extending him. Luis Robert doesn't have a wrist, so that's great for the person that I picked as AL MVP this year.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson, like I said, injury history isn't great. I'm wearing a Tim Anderson shirt now. Love him, but like that, he might be needed to play second base in the near future if we could get a much better defensive glove as short. But all in all, disappointing season. It does suck that we are at the end. Like you said, like this past Tuesday was the gut punch, because like they almost had me back in when Dylan Miller threw a no hitter almost, and then they shot the bed. So yeah, that was great.
Yeah, they did. And you know, you don't think that the White Sox players actually would sort of emulate that graphic. Of course, they're professionals, they don't do that, but you know, did they? And you just wonder how much of that might have crept in. Who knows? You hear all this hype, you just never know. Allie, Melissa, Joe, you know, where are you at in terms of your stages of grief?
I think what makes this worse is the fact that it wasn't ever over until this week. Like, I was strung along all season. You know, obviously there were ebbs and flows of this sucks. Oh, we're coming back. We're back. But like, now that it's finally sinking in that it's over and like we're done playing this game of are we in, are we out? I'm disappointed is like not even the right word, but like you look at this roster and you look at the team and there is so much talent. And yet somehow some of the pieces were clicking at some points, but nothing was clicking at the same time. And it's just, again, like we were sold this message of it's going to work, it's going to work. And so when it doesn't and you actually have to sit with that, you're like, oh, God, I really fell for that.
Yeah. Melissa, Joe?
I think for me, like the beginning of the season when I'm told that April games don't count, I'm kind of like in denial, right? Okay, I'm in denial. Like things are really not that bad. Like they're going to get better. And then as it kind of rolled on, then I started getting angry about how we can't put this together. And now I'm just sad. That's where I am. I'm just sad because it's over. And once it's over, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, get all the hype and in the last couple of years and the window and the rebuild and the, you know, number one prospect in all of baseball, you know, all this buildup. And now I'm just sad about it because I don't have a whole lot of hope moving forward unless things are kind of imploded. You know, there are some good things people have been saying tonight, you know, Dylan Cease, and we definitely had some light, but there's just a lot of dark and it kind of just makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not less sad. I just, boy, there's just a weird numb for me. It's strange. It's like, wow, I actually didn't think it was going to happen. I thought we were going to be doing this weird thing. It was like, haha, oh my God, they made the playoffs. And look, now they're making a little noise in the playoffs. I mean, I was silly enough to think, and I'm pretty grizzled. Okay, Joe, you get to bring this home. Stages of grief or whatnot. You know, well, yeah, where are you feeling about the fact that, yeah, this ain't going to happen?
I feel like I'm close to the acceptance phase. I think I'm not quite there yet. I'm more in the bargaining phase, I think, with a little bit of like, oh, if only they get rid of Rick Hahn, then maybe they could right the ship for 2023 now. Like, you know, and I mean, the thing is, like, there's really no excuse anymore for Hahn as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I was 100% behind him when the rebuild started. There's no doubt in my mind, given the situation of their major league roster and their farm system at that point, that rebuilding was the right solution, and Rick Hahn, you know, led that. And as much as I was behind him then, like, it hasn't been successful despite the 3 years of essentially tanking, and trading away all of their huge major league assets, for future assets, you know, and to build up the farm system. And now, with the 2022 team, doesn't even have the excuse anymore of the low payroll, which was just shy of $197 million. The Guardians are working with a $66 million payroll. They made it work. And they didn't even have to. It's not like they traded Jose Ramirez and Shane Bieber in 2019 to build up their farm system. Like, with the White Sox, it really felt like early to mid 2020s, like, that was their window. And even with a large payroll, Rick Hahn was unable to make that work, despite giving up all of those major league assets. And, careful.
Careful, Joe. You sound like somebody who's rooting for the rebuild to fail. Careful. You're on thin ice, buddy. You are on thin ice. Well, here, I got news for you, Joe. That bargaining stage is going to last all offseason. We're going to be talking about it on podcasts. We're going to be bargaining all offseason. And hopefully somehow, so White Sox, know you're listening. Listen to us and make things right. Come on. It's real simple. We're giving you the solution. We already gave you your pocket schedule title. That is Allie Wessel. Okay. Get it right. Just a little type. It doesn't have a big type. It doesn't be Allie Wessel's 2023 White Sox. Just give her credit. Come on. Be cool. All right. I don't know when the next podcast is going to be. We were predicting there for a while, but who knows? I guess there's days off, so we'll try to do them then. I don't know. This is something to talk about, but, you know, maybe we'll just continue our bargaining stage with all of you. Thank you for listening, reading, watching, participating as much as you can. I know it's very hard these days. That goes for our staff, but of course, all you readers and listeners as well. Thank you. Without you, we have no purpose here. Dante, in mourning, thank you for joining. Melissa, thank you for breaking away to go from one horror to our sort of pretend sports horror. Joe, as always, thank you. Steady hand. Good luck with the bargaining. I'm with you. Allie, stay pissed. You mental break, however much you need. You're probably like doing something tomorrow, so I guess the mental break doesn't last long, but, you know, as long as you need it, take it. Everybody, thanks for checking in with us once again. We'll have more for you, whether you like it or not.